Hello there. Welcome to the Elimination Chamber Reaction Show. I'm Christy Rios, founder of Quinn Media, and I'm here with my co-founder and co-host, Seth Knupp. You can find us hanging out on Twitter by following me at the Quinn Bee and following Seth at Fearless Fandom. Also, you can follow the Quinn account at Quinn Media. So let's just jump right in.
All right. What did you think of the show?
I actually thought there was one match, obviously, that stood out above the rest. A lot of predictability again. I mean, if I'm picking the winner of the Elimination Chamber, we have a problem. It's too predictable.
Well, I'm not going to go directly into that. I agree with you completely, but I like to adjust my opinion on the fly on these sort of things because I feel like there's so much more going on than just what a fan wants or anything like that. And even what the fans want really can project what's going to happen in the show, but not to their liking. So I'm going to get into all that. I'm not going to start at the very beginning and run down every match because I feel like that'd be doing a disservice to the two matches that really owned the show. But I will just say that everything tonight was rather predictable. The only picks that I got wrong were ones that I purposely went against what I figured was the predictability just for the sake of let's hope they do something interesting. And of course they didn't. Like I said, I have my opinions as to why. Some of the things they could have done, in my opinion, Big E winning felt very predictable, and yet I didn't pick it because I thought they were really going to switch that up and give him a chance to redeem himself at WrestleMania or something like that. Didn't work out that way. Swagger won or lost. I really thought that I did say that the New Age Outlaws were going to win, so they retain. That rematch is almost assuredly going to happen, don't you think?
I think so. The one thing about that match, I agree it was predictable and it was the way it was supposed to go. But I think that's the only way you can carry that on is to rematch it. It wasn't an awful match.
No, it was a pretty good match. The only thing that I can see possibly happening with that particular situation with the tag team belts is actually that the Rhodes brothers get a second shot too. And maybe, I talked on the previous show about a possible triple threat match or how they don't necessarily like to do matches that like multiple team or multiple people matches at WrestleMania because they like things to be a little bit more clean. I could see the possibility of them bringing the Rhodes brothers in and doing like a triple threat tag match. I don't think it would be to the extent of like a TLC or a ladder match like they've done with those big matches in the past for the tag belts. But I could see a triple threat match and let the Rhodes brothers take a shot since clearly they're not going to be feuding the Rhodes brothers against each other, which going into the show, I thought tonight we were going to see. I was way wrong on that. And that's, it's okay. But I would have rather seen that.
And I'm honestly glad they didn't. I'm glad they didn't. They're not feuding against each other.
I don't know. I really want to see that match. Like, I really want to see them go against each other. Dustin, Goldust is at the peak of his like physical ability right now. Like, I actually think he's performing better than when he was super popular, back in the early 2000s or late 90s, whenever it was. He was at the top of the world then, really, really over. But I think he's better as a performer right now. Like, he's in great shape. He looks fantastic. And Cody is in a position to go on to singles, a singles push. He's been lights out the last, like, four pay-per-views. He has been amazing. So I'm actually really looking for that. And I thought now would be the time. Clearly, they're not going that way. I do hope that they have at least something to do with the tag title picture because they kind of dropped it in a pre pay-per-view match and they haven't had a chance to really get it back. I know they did the cage match and all that, but I don't want to move any further without mentioning that the Bad News Barrett in-between match promos were freaking awesome. Like, I love that guy. I love that gimmick. And a lot of people are like, he hasn't wrestled a match since they, you know, he started the new gimmick. And he was buried for a while. Barrett has a future, or maybe had a future that he's lost or whatever. He's a very talented dude in the ring. He's pretty good on the mic. And this particular gimmick is helping him get better on the mic. So I really enjoy it. Plus, I think he's hilarious. Like, making the comment about Mother Russia when he's British, it was just funny. And then the irony of the you know, his thing that goes up and down.
The podium
breaking after the first promo was hilarious.
I thought that was great. And I love how he was so slick to cover it. You know, like,
yeah,
I'm coming down to your level.
Yep, absolutely.
I was like, that is brilliant. Because you knew something had gone wrong.
Right.
And then he covered it up. I thought, okay, maybe that is what it is. And then when it didn't go up the next promo, I was like, no, it's broke.
And just to backtrack just a tad on a match that I didn't really cover, but I talked about in our previous show at length, because I thought it was going to set up kind of a longer rivalry than maybe it is. I actually predicted that Darren Young would come out over Titus O'Neil, maybe in kind of a cheap way, in order to progress that feud and give Darren Young a bit of a push as well as Titus O'Neil. But coming out of it, it looks like Titus O'Neil is pretty much just going to squash Darren Young and move on, because not only did he win, but he looked brutally strong in that match.
Yeah, he really did. And I told you, I thought, I really did feel like I think they're giving him a big push. The promos have sold that.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that's what this was. They just had to tie up the loose end.
Yeah.
You know, and it's now he'll move forward onto bigger things.
I didn't agree with you, but I was wrong. I will definitely take the check mark in the wrong column on that one. I did not think that's the way they were going to go with it. The problem is now, do you play like a hero reborn angle on Darren Young to get them at WrestleMania against each other? Or does Titus insert himself into a different feud for Mania? Because after a strong showing like that at the Elimination Chamber, you don't really hang him out to dry and not have him in some sort of a match. But after him squashing Darren Young, I don't know how you have them come back and do that match again at WrestleMania. It doesn't make much sense.
Exactly. I have to be honest with you. I wouldn't be surprised. And I'll say it now. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't make it in and they make room for somebody who will pop up.
Okay.
In these next couple, like in the next week or so, because they really haven't made a big deal about matches, with the exception of obviously this one.
Well, now, you know,
the WrestleMania matches that are
now
are
they
for
supposedly
sure.
have their main event, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not that I think it's the right choice, but it's not me booking it. But the funny thing is, I don't think very many people think it's the right choice.
Oh my gosh, no.
I'm not there yet. Let's not go there yet.
Okay,
I don't want to skip over the Shield Wyatt match because
you can't.
No, that match was so phenomenal. Every aspect of that match was amazing. All six dudes put on just a fantastic match from start to finish.
I don't really watch the shows over again. I mean, every once in a while, for a podcast, I'll go through and I'll, you know, skim through to see if I missed something, which is general. But that match, I want to rewatch the entire match.
Absolutely.
And just because it was such an awesome match. And I'm sure I missed stuff with tweeting and kind of fan interaction and stuff. I'm positive I missed stuff. And it was awesome.
That's exactly how I felt. I realized about halfway through the match that I felt like I was missing so much because I was taking notes for the podcast and then I was tweeting, and I felt like between those two things, I really wasn't able to get into the match the way I wanted to, but I could tell that it was going very well. The crowd was just way into it. And the spots sounded great, and the parts that I did catch were so good. And I knew it was going to be good going in. So at about halfway point, I actually put my computer on the ground instead of on my lap and stopped because I had to watch the second half of that match without any interruption. And I just retweeted a bunch of things because I didn't want to come up with anything on my own because I was really trying to get, you know, that, you know how when you're watching it, sometimes you can get sucked into the match and actually enjoy it for what it's supposed to be. And that match, it was so easy to just sit back and as a wrestling fan say, this is why I love professional wrestling.
Oh my gosh, I was there. I mean, it was that whole moment too where you're, you know, on your edge, you know, you're the edge of your seat and you're just like, oh, you know, and you're yelling and you're cheering out loud and, you and know, what, you're what scaring I, the cat. At your, you know, it's awesome.
One of the things that I think really made it great was that it was all six guys. One of the things I noticed right off the bat was that Luke Harper really started off the match like super strong. Like he kept being the one getting tagged back in. He was controlling the ring and it wasn't all about Bray. And when I watch matches like that, you know, the six man tag thing, when you see it as, you know, Cena, Sheamus and Daniel Bryan, you don't really know. I mean, they all have to get their spots and it's, you know, they're not really cooperating as a team because they're not really a team. But right now, the Wyatt family and the Shield, you have two guys that are clearly the leader, one, you know, for each one in Bray and Roman. And then the other two guys are trying to earn their spots and continue to be part of the team, but hopefully moving forward can earn a spot on the roster on their own too. So I just wonder how much, you know, Bray being the leader, quote unquote, of the group was really instrumental in getting Harper out there to start that match and to keep coming back in and look stronger and stronger. And I was so impressed by him, but in the end I was impressed by everybody. That's the thing. Like Ambrose had some really great spots and did a lot of the psychology stuff. His tongue sticking out thing was a little, was a little much.
Well, it's funny because as we're, you know, as we're watching it, we saw him do that. And I was like, all right, so I'm going to guess what piece of candy he had because he had this big blue spot on his tongue. So I'm like, blue raspberry Jolly Rancher. No, it's not it. Because I mean, I was like, what is that all about? That's new. Like, what is he doing there?
And Rollins took the monster bump at the end, too, after he had some pretty big spots himself.
Oh, but
the bump he took at the end was pretty monster.
You know, in that moment, I feel like he put himself more over in this match than he's done the entire time he's been with the Shield.
He has that like cult following. Out of all the guys in the Shield, you know, Roman has become super popular with everybody. Mm-hmm. But I think Seth Rollins has like this following where everyone, like he has like the undercurrent following where like the more culty wrestling fans really like him.
For sure. He's the underground.
Yeah, exactly. Guy. He's the guy that all the indie guys really want to root for, which the funniest thing, I don't know who to really give credit to for this because I'm not going to look through my feed or anything, but somebody made a comment about how Seth Rollins went all ROH on their asses. And it very much felt that way. He did a lot of really high spots that nobody else in that ring was going to do. You know, everybody else, maybe Dean Ambrose, but he's more of just a psychology mat wrestler guy, but everybody else are big guys who do the big guy spots, you know, like the boots to the faces and the spears and stuff like that. And then there's Seth Rollins, who's top roping everything and, you know, getting thrown through announce tables at a pretty ridiculous rate. That bump was monstrous.
I honestly feel like, and like you said, you know, Roman Reigns is the it guy right now. Absolutely. He's totally on fire. Everybody loves him. And I have to admit, I mean, I'm a fan of his. I'm not as crazy as some of his fans. Like they're really heavy duty fans, but I have to say, Seth Rollins has been a sleeper to me in the Shield. I've kind of just brushed him off. And I want to even say, I mentioned, I didn't know what would happen for him next in our last podcast.
Exactly.
And I am completely on the other side of that fence now. Like, oh my God, this guy is going to be just fine. Like, he's going to do really damn well.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of like, so yeah, that Ambrose guy, what happened to
Well,
him? Where's he at?
you can't shift him out either because he's just so good with the psychology and
Oh no, his mic skills, I said
that
that
too.
it, they're
Yeah,
unparalleled.
and the psych of the WWE, like being a superstar, to have that aspect makes you a hot commodity. I talk a lot about loving Dolph Ziggler and how he puts guys over with how he sells everything and he's got the look and everything else. The thing that he doesn't have is the psychology. Like he doesn't have the kind of Jake the Snake Roberts thing, the CM Punk thing even, where he can play off of people's emotions and really do that well and get people to have an actual reaction, an emotional reaction. So guys that have that, I don't necessarily think that a guy like Roman Reigns is going to have it. Sheamus doesn't have it, which is why it's really hard to like Sheamus, no matter how much they try and push him down your throat. He's got the look. His style is really good. He's fairly at the top when it comes to in the ring stuff, but he just like what's there's nothing exciting or emotionally attaching to him. You just don't care? And if you don't care, indifference is a huge no-no to be a superstar. That's like even now with Randy Orton, the crowd, first of all, the pussy chant was great. That was.
I loved it, but I love that he turned
And
around
loved it.
and loved
Yes,
it.
that's my point. That's exactly what I was just going to get to is. He is eliciting that at this point. He knows that they're cheering boring at him and that people are saying that this is going to be just a terrible main event. I actually don't think it will, even if it goes off exactly the way it is, even if there's no turn where Daniel Bryan gets inserted in it, which I think that is the chances of that are slim to none. I highly doubt that Daniel Bryan isn't inserted into the main event of WrestleMania. But even if he isn't, even if it's a straight up Randy Orton versus Dave Batista, I don't think it's going to be a bad match. I actually think that it's going to be a match you're going to be able to like a lot. But it's just so fun to boo those guys because, like Dave especially, it seems to bug him so much. Like he gets angry at the crowd and they show him at the Royal Rumble flicking people off. And tonight people were obviously booing him and he's pointing at his dick. Like,
Oh my God, he was he and I want to go back and look at the playback because he said something at the end of the match and I wish I'd written it down because when he said it, I was like, did he just say
he looked into the
that?
camera and said it too. And
What do you remember what he
I
said
don't. I
though?
have to go back and watch it. And I'm
Oh.
sure it's all over the place right now, but he dude, he eats it up. He eats it up. And Randy does too. And Randy is great. I don't
Well,
I understand the backlash to Randy. I really do. The sad part is, I think it has more to do with the fact that they put him in the ring with Cena to get the backlash. Like I really want to blame Cena because if it
shocker.
wasn't Cena that he had these matches with and everything else, if it wasn't Cena at the Royal Rumble, if it was Daniel Bryan, would people be upset even if he won, or would it be that heel heat? Would it be the you're boring and we just don't want to see you, or would it be you beat our guy and we don't want you to win? Because
But
they're two totally different things.
okay, here's my take on the Orton. And you know, I'm an Orton fan. I've never like skewed away from that. I
Right.
don't care how boring he gets or how crappy he is on the mic. I have loved Orton since the very first time I saw him. And I've been, heel fan, baby
Right.
faced fan, whatever. I've been on board. But I think what people like doing is they know his reaction is kind of fun.
Yeah, it
You
is.
know,
That's
he's
true.
really like enjoying it too. He's not doing like
Getting
Batista
angry.
getting really angry. And to the point that, I mean, they're having fun with it, but eventually that just gets kind of, you know what I mean? Like it gets stale and they're going to get tired of it. Where with Randy, they know his reaction is going to be fun. So I think that it's it's beneficial for both the fans to do it because they get that, you know, like reaction like tonight.
Right.
And for Randy, he knows it's working in his benefit because they're giving him that attention.
And you know what? I got to say something. You made a mention about him being crappy on the mic. I have to say that since CM Punk has left.
Oh, no, I'm not saying he is. I'm saying people say
right,
he is.
Right, right, right. And I just wanted to comment on the fact that since CM Punk has left and they've had to go over the CM Punk chants, and so they've required him to like talk faster and be more assertive over the chants, which he's done like two or three Raws in a row. I think his mic work is probably the best he's ever been in his career. Like I actually love where Randy Orton is right now. I think the problem is everyone kind of knew he was going to win tonight and it pisses people off. But what cracks me up and I can't believe I've gotten to this place, but what cracks me up is the Twitter reaction of people saying they've dropped the ball and I'm not buying the network anymore. And just they're making such a mistake and on and on and on. It's like, no, dude, they haven't. Like the fact that the internet is blowing up right now, even though it's negative, is not negative. It's a total positive. It's a total win for them. A total win for them.
There were two Twitter hashtags tonight that completely just had me, I mean, seriously laughing my ass off. But I did see one of them was, you know, like
boycott the network.
Fuck the network.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And
I saw that one.
And
too.
it was like seriously, like you don't be liars. You know tomorrow you are going to be the first person getting that free trial week to sign
and
up.
And even if they're not, why do you have to be a hater? Like,
well, and one match is making that change.
No.
Because, come on, this has been going on for a while. So,
all right, so to backtrack a little bit, not to cut you off, but we were still talking about the Wyatts and the Shield towards the end of the match, like at the very end of the match. I thought it was really interesting that after Rollins took the throw through the Spanish announce table, rest in peace, Spanish announce table, Roman came into the ring and he got a monster pop, like just a monster pop, because everybody knew he was going to destroy the Wyatt family. It was him versus all three of them and they were kind of stalking him, and he broke out of the kiss, right? He got kissed and then he kind of like hulked out of it and people were going nuts, and the crowd reaction was awesome because he's supposed
well,
to.
Well, he did the back-to-back Superman
right,
punch.
And that was after he broke out. But right when he broke out, people were just going nuts. And I had to stop a minute and think about the fact that that's supposed to be kind of a heel faction still. Like, it's still like he's still supposed to be a bad guy in a way. But obviously, everyone knows his turn is coming and this was part of it. But he did, dude. He went over so huge. And then to still have Bray go over him was, in my opinion, kind of a testament to what they're trying to do with Bray. And then bringing him in later to take out Cena was just another, like, they are, like, everyone's talking about how they're going to push Roman Reigns, but pay attention to how they're pushing Bray Wyatt, because they are pushing the shit out of Bray Wyatt, and I love it, because his promos are over the top, and his in-ring performances have been pretty damn good.
It's like the least talked about push,
right,
too. I mean, it really it is, because it's very apparent it's what's happening, but yet nobody talks about it. It's just, it's the weirdest thing. I also think, though, it's probably because nobody foresees that group breaking up yet.
I think that's part of it, but I also think it's because it doesn't feel fabricated. It doesn't feel like the WWE is pushing him because they want you to like him. It feels like he's getting over because of what he's producing. Does that make sense? Like, there's a huge difference between, and I'm not taking anything against Roman Reigns here, but he's another one of those guys. He's big. He's got the long black hair. He's got the nice chiseled chin. He's beefed up. He does a Superman punch. And he does, you know, the spear. He's very...
Oh, his spear is pretty badass.
But he's typical. He's...
He's a very big guy, and they need big guys, too, on a separate scale.
Absolutely typical. And that's not taking anything away from him. He's earning what he's getting, but he's typical. And Bray Wyatt is not typical. He's earning his push with just amazing performances behind the camera, like in front of the camera and on the mic. And
his mic skills are crazy.
And the way that family has gone over, air quotes family, has gone gone over just by being who they are. Not like they could have flamed out. People could have been like, "This is a lame gimmick." It never came off that way. It has not come off that way once. So I think that's why it's kind of a quiet push, because it's not being fabricated by the, you know, typical, I'm a WWE fan, I love John Cena. Like, it's not, you know, it's not fabricated and pushed to those people. Whereas I think Roman Reigns kind of is. I think the same people who are loving Roman Reigns right now are the people that loved Sheamus when he first got his big fabricated WWE push and still loved John Cena like that.
I'm gonna stop you
because
there, though, and
just
say,
because you like Roman Reigns,
no,
and
I
you
do
don't
like Roman
love
Reigns,
John
but I,
Cena doesn't mean it's not
I,
the same.
Oh no, stop! Because I also don't love Sheamus, and my God, I'm sure that my Irish grandmother just rolled in her grave. But like, everything in me should like him just for that fact alone. I have never liked him. I've never understood the draw for him. When he comes into the ring, I could care less about what's going on.
See, and that,
I'm not typical in the way of liking Roman Reigns.
But
in the fashion you're
saying. Well, you like him now. So who? Roman Reigns. So
I like Roman
Reigns.
So
I'll give it.
Yeah.
I'll give it 6 months, because
and see if I still like him.
Yeah, because he's the same thing. he doesn't have mic skills. He's got the look and he's got the pedigree, and he's getting a WWE fabricated push. So he's going to go the same route as those guys, the exact same route. And that maybe more of an Orton. He's very similar to what Randy Orton was when he,
but I think that's why I like him.
Because you like Randy Orton.
I love Randy.
Fair
Orton.
Enough. I mean, that makes sense. Same thing. It was a WWE fabricated push. Same with Batista.
I hate Batista.
Right. Well,
I said that last week too. I've never, or our last podcast wasn't even last week. I've never really liked him. I mean, I get that people like him, and I, you know, when he came back, I was glad it was maybe something exciting for the fans.
It doesn't sound like a lot of people in Minnesota like him.
No, my God. No.
Okay.
But, or anywhere for that matter. But,
right.
I'm just saying, like, I don't know if I necessarily go for the ones that they're pushing all the time, but, you know, there's something about him, Roman, that I find kind of intriguing. I feel like maybe it is the Randy-esque feel. Because I do see that, clearly.
I'm not going to be too hard on the guy and turn on him already, but I am going to say that once he bails from the Shield and he loses the two teammates that push the psychology and the promo aspect of that faction, and he's out on his own and he loses the flak jacket and that kind of look,
I worry about
the hair and the looks and the moves are only going to go so far. But
okay, well, he could cut his hair and I'd be happy, because I hate long hair on a guy. I think it's awful.
Anyway, so after that match, which everybody was just overly, you know, we skipped the part where they were doing a "This is awesome" chant before the bell even rang.
Before the bell rang, that was awesome.
Nothing,
like, I was
nothing,
so excited.
Nothing had even happened yet, and the crowd was already chanting "This is awesome," and I felt the same way.
That was such a testament, though, to what that match was going to be.
Absolutely,
like, it was such a. I mean, I was excited when they were doing it. I was like, dude, nothing has happened. This is crazy. And it was like, what are they doing? That's so lame. It was, you could feel that excitement and you got
Absolutely.
sucked into it right away. And
So
I loved it.
then after the match, in order to get everybody calmed back down, they bring the divas out to
Well, wait, though, I want to stop. I just want to say, though, at the end of that match, and I posted on Twitter, Ambrose was kind of gone for the last couple of minutes of that match. Like he was not, they didn't show him on camera. He didn't, you know, and I tweeted it and somebody had, I said, where's anybody seen Ambrose? And somebody tweeted he went to the concession stand. And I can't remember who it was. And I want to give him credit so bad because I laughed so hard when I read that. Because then I thought at least I wasn't the only one who noticed. The dude's been gone for like 2 minutes on camera easily. He just kind of like fell off and it was just Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns at the end of that
I'm gonna
match.
have
But
to.
whoever it was, I make sure I'll give him credit and let him know that I mentioned his tweet to me because it was hysterical. But yeah, I don't know what happened to him at the end, and he kind of phased out. So when you go back and watch it,
Pay attention. I will. Absolutely.
yeah, to that at least, because it was really weird that he just kind of was gone.
Right.
And it made me wonder, is that part of kind of, you know what I mean? Like they'll,
That he bailed kind of thing. It did
yes.
seem like Roman Reigns was looking around for where everybody was at the end of that match too.
Yes, and it just blew my mind that nobody was really noticing it. And I'm thinking, where the hell did he go? Because they're not even showing him. It was the part that they weren't showing him on camera because they were showing Rollins completely, you know, sprawled out across the Spanish announce table that goes down at every pay-per-view.
Right.
And then, you know, they had Reigns in the ring, but there was no camera, and every other member of the Shield was on camera. So it was just weird. So just, yeah, when you play it back, check
I
that too,
will.
because it was very
I will.
bizarre.
But anyway, so they moved along with an inserting a Divas match that wasn't initially on the schedule. And
Yeah,
I
what
don't
was
I
that
well,
about?
I mean they do that sometimes. They may have had it partially planned and then weren't sure if they were going to need the time or a cool down match, 'cause they need cool down matches, and it was a pretty decent cool down match, I guess. They didn't want the crowd to be completely silent for the Batista Alberto Del Rio, so they throw the Divas out there to let the crowd recover from what they just went through. And that makes sense. They do that all the time. But this particular match was just very bad. And it and the ending seemed illy. Okay, it was poorly put together, and then it was poorly executed. Because when I watched it live, I'm thinking to myself, okay, so Tamina just kicked AJ in the face, and Cameron was kind of smiling at her like she did it on purpose, but then the way Michael Cole called it was that Cameron ducked out of the way. Now, that's bullshit. Cameron didn't duck out of the way. Cameron was nowhere near the kick when it was thrown, and it was thrown directly at AJ's face. So I don't know if there was a plan for Cameron to be in the way and to duck, but it sure as shit didn't happen. So it came off really bad. And then the ref was looking like he was supposed to ring the bell or call a disqualification. So then they got back in the ring and something else had to happen for the DQ to finally, go through. And it just seemed like they botched the last like 5 minutes of that
Yeah.
completely horrible match. And I expected more CM Punk chants during that match, by the way. That's when I expect, but I think everybody was so worn out from the past match that they wouldn't have been able to get it together anyway.
Agreed. Agreed. I
So,
mean, there was a definite that if it was a cool down match, it was effective because
absolutely,
everybody needed to
they got
kind of like take a
everybody
moment.
recharged their batteries enough to boo Batista out of the building.
Well, but I will agree, there was something that didn't seem to go
Yeah.
right with that match, and it looked very confused and very lost, and I wasn't sure what the result was supposed to be. I do think that they're trying to set it up,
For
though. I
Tamina.
believe,
Yeah, she's gonna, yeah,
yes.
AJ's gonna drop the belt to Tamina. That's gonna happen. I think that's probably been a slow burn for months and months. But we'll see. Don't care. Moving along. So Batista gets booed out of the building. they're doing CCC chants and cheering for Alberto Del Rio, which was just hilarious. I don't really know much. Like, I don't really. It wasn't the squash that I predicted, but the cheap shots by Alberto Del Rio in order to make it a match just made me roll my eyes completely out of my head. And then that was the match when the CM Punk chants were the absolute loudest and the most pronounced on TV. And if you didn't hear it, you weren't watching. And the crowd, okay, so the crowd chants and nobody says, like, the announcers talk over them. But then when they start the Y2J chant, like right after that, the announcers acknowledge it. And at that point, I was just like, yeah, CM Punk is done.
Wow.
Yeah, he has to be. There. If you're gonna ignore it, and then as soon as Y2J chants start, you acknowledge those chants, that's a dig. That's an absolute dig, because everybody can hear those chants. It wasn't muffled. It wasn't like the crowd was only halfway into it.
No, you're absolutely right.
They were fully into a loud, pronounced CM Punk chant. You almost could have imagined his music hitting next. It was that loud, and they ignored it.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the crowd switches to Y2J, they instantly are like, oh, Y2J chant starts. And it's like, yeah, oh, man. All right. Point made.
They did do that. They acknowledged every single chant.
Yeah, they did.
With the exception of the CM Punk chants. And that kind of sucks. But I really want to call this out, because if you have like 5 minutes to do this, go and just hit hashtag more over than Batista. Okay. Some of the funniest things I've ever seen, like feline diabetes, more over than Batista. I mean, the stuff that was like said that was more over than Batista, it was the funniest stuff. I couldn't stop laughing. Like, it was just so ridiculous. I mean, some of the stuff, you have to read them, because there's some that are definitely not podcast appropriate.
I've got one. Right off the bat, I've got one that I'm not looking at, but I'll give you one right now. Pictures of CM Punk sitting ringside at UFC 170.
Yes.
Can't turn
more over than
Batista. Can't turn on, open up the computer and go on the interwebs without seeing that plaster you in the face, which I have no problem with, obviously, but I do think there's something to be said for Dana White having to answer questions at the post-fight news conference about CM Punk. If that doesn't tell you how I don't want to say concerned, because I think that's the wrong word, but interested in what is going on with CM Punk. It's kind of mind blowing.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, sorry. But I didn't mean to insert him again. I know that I'm trying to get away from it. I really am.
It's okay. He actually made it into one of the more over then.
Did he?
Yeah, it was CM Punk's sabbatical, more over than Batista.
All right.
I'm telling. So nobody's really, I mean, it's hard to escape it, because it's still in your face, right, all the time. And today for sure, with the 900 different angles.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Of him sitting ringside.
So many pictures. So many pictures. All right.
I wasn't sure there could be any more angles of one person sitting in the exact same seat, but I've been proven wrong.
So my prediction of a 6 minute or less match from Batista did not go over.
No. Sadly. I didn't time
but it. But only because Alberto Del Rio came to the ring with crutch and freaking neck brace. God, you gotta be. So that's what has to happen. So Alberto Del Rio has to come down to the ring and beat him with a crutch in order for the match to last about 10 minutes.
I did think it was kind of funny, though, that when he took off like the shirt, he still had the silk scarf on. I was like, well, at least he's fashionable.
Yeah, I mean, typical ADR. It was anyway,
it was so bad.
Okay, so
that match was awful.
So Christian actually makes it into his pod, And it,
I know you were surprised. I
I
knew
wasn't,
that
I
one.
wasn't surprised. Okay, here's what I'm going to say about this. My prediction, if you listen to the prediction show, was that Brock Lesnar was going to come out somehow. And I know I wasn't the only person who thought that or
No.
wanted that or expected it. But I as soon as it didn't happen, I knew they were going to go the safe route. Like that was the instant cue that this match was going to go completely clean and end the way you expect it to, which is Kane is going to screw over Daniel Bryan, which he did. I didn't necessarily expect the Wyatts to come and take out John Cena, but it's been done before, so I guess maybe I should have expected it. And Randy Orton walked out with the belts, which, if it wasn't going to be Brock Lesnar, it was going to be Randy Orton the whole time. So it happened, pretty much the exact way that any fan that's been watching for the last, month and a half, 2 months could have scripted it out and said, this is what they're going to do. If you're being realistic, I tried to be, hey, they're going to do something awesome. And if I want a swerve, this would be a great one. And obviously that didn't happen. As far as the match goes itself, the plexiglass continually getting like,
Oh my
I don't think
God.
there was a single pod. At the end of the match, I don't think there was a single pod that hadn't been broken. So doesn't that really take away from the allure of that match? Like, doesn't that kind of ruin some of the mystery? I mean, I know they've been broken in the past. I know that's happened. But to break basically all four of them different ways at different times, it just seemed really redundant.
That was very strategically placed plexiglass. I mean, nobody really, except there was one, I do believe one instance where Sheamus hit the grate. He actually hit it bareback from Cesaro. Okay, I just realized what I said. but other than that, everybody landed on that
Yeah, pretty
plexiglass.
much. It was very,
Everybody.
very strategically placed, and I noticed it right away, but as it went on, it became so much more apparent that, hey, everybody aim for this so you don't hit the grates. I'm not claiming that I want to be a professional wrestler and get thrown on metal grates, but I know that these matches have been going on long enough where I've seen guys do things and have things happen that don't include putting a piece of plexiglass down to fall on. And I just,
Or
I don't know.
also too, when you see somebody hit somebody with, I mean, I have to tell you, I grew up in a house where we believed we were wrestlers, and my brothers and I would jump off like tops of, like headboards and, wrestle each other to the ground, and it was like a match, for the ages. My brother hit me with plexiglass. Plexiglass doesn't hurt. It can be sharp if it breaks, but it really doesn't hurt. So when I see them with those very thin sheets of plexiglass acting like it really hurt them too when they're shoved against, the pod with it, you kind of lose me
Right.
there.
Well, it's like any other match where you have to sell something, like getting hit in the head with a water bottle. But we can move that. That's not any ground I feel like covering at this moment. I thought Christian would have been, first of all, I didn't think Christian was going to make it in. I thought he was going to get taken out for Brock Lesnar. He did make it in, and he wasn't the first to get eliminated, which was completely shocking to me. Cesaro looked good. I'll give him credit for everything he did. He looked really good. And that's pretty much,
I thought,
yeah.
I will say, I thought Christian looked really good for, the amount of time that he was in. He was really just bouncing all over the place, and he was really taking the risky, the risky moves.
Well, there's
I like to see that.
I don't, not to get all rumory because I don't want to do that at this show particularly. He allegedly won't re-sign a contract, so he may have been auditioning, he may have been just trying to get th this may actually have been his last pay-per-view. I don't know if he's going to be at WrestleMania. He may be done. So he may have just really put on a, given everything he had kind of thing. But he did do very well. I was happy to see that he got off what he got off. He did do the frog splash off the top of the
Yeah,
pod
that's
was pretty
awesome.
awesome. That was a good spot. Probably the best spot in that match, other than the giant swing for Cena. That or no, it was Orton that took it. Cena blocked it. One of the best tweets of the entire pay-per-view came from the comedy account, the WWE creative-ish, talking about John Cena blocking the big swing and sarcastically saying that's a great way to get fans to love you, because that, everyone loves that swing, and Cena had to block it. Of course, Cena's not gonna take the swing, and it's just, oh God. But overall, the match was pretty good. It was, if you are following the storylines, it was really predictable. And it makes me kind of long for the days where you didn't know what was going to happen. It's still exciting when Kane comes in and knocks Daniel Bryan out. That's still exciting. I get that. It's still exciting when the lights go out and the Wyatts come in and take out John Cena, because Bray Wyatt will be wrestling Cena at WrestleMania. That's all exciting, but it's not the, oh my
Well, and
God, I didn't
technically,
know that was going to happen. It's,
true.
I mean, the what
But technically, Daniel Bryan went after
after Kane,
Kane
yeah, he
first.
did, right?
So
But that's not,
I didn't expect that. I didn't see that. I
Kane
thought it was
still
kind of, I wasn't
interfered, and
expecting it to happen.
Kane still ended the match for Daniel Bryan. He still screwed over Daniel Bryan, which they've been building that for weeks.
Oh, yeah, they have.
So it's not like it's unexpected by any stretch of the imagination. It's just, and that's okay. What I was gonna say at the very beginning, and I'm gonna say it now as we're coming to the end and we're talking about how this went down predictability wise, they are selling a network, and they're not just selling a network to the kids that are gonna bitch on the internet that they screwed over Daniel Bryan. You know what I mean? Those aren't the only people that are going to buy it. And a lot of those people like me, or a lot of the internet community, they're going to buy it or they're not going to buy it either way. If Daniel Bryan wins tonight and they get what they want, rather than building a story that they're building, does that mean 100,000 people that weren't going to buy it are going to buy it? Or doing what they did and being predictable, does that cause 100,000 people that were going to buy it to not buy it? No, not even close. So but with all that said, sticking to a bit of a predictable storyline that shows that they have competent creative writers that can write stories that last, because not everybody is so jaded and internet savvy with wrestling that they're, reading dirt sheets and following behind the scenes stuff or anything like that they expected tonight to go down the way it did. There's a huge portion of wrestling fans that don't read anything between the lines and just follow the stories. And Orton winning isn't necessarily what you expect to happen, because he had been beat up for four straight Raws, right? So as a company, that right now they're dealing with TV contracts, which they need a ton of money and a ton more money than what USA gave them their last contract. They're looking to, like, I read some article that said they were looking to get like four times the amount of money they got for their last contract for this upcoming TV deal. So as a company, they have to prove that they are steady and that they are capable of writing good stories, everything else, not just what the internet community wants to see or what the wrestling crowd wants to see that particular night. And I don't think they're screwing over Daniel Bryan. I really do think that they're building a good story arc for him. In the end, I don't think there's any way that they're gonna say Dave Batista or Randy Orton, that those are your choices, because the crowd hates them both. So you can't really, you have to have a hero that can take down the bad guy, right? I mean, that's how they write stories. if they don't, if they really do go with that WrestleMania 30 main event with those two guys, I think that they are going to have a huge blow up on their hands, because there's no way that a WrestleMania crowd doesn't just destroy that main event. Just as you're talking about 70,000 people being pissed off. Yeah. And it's,
I think you're on the right angle with what you mentioned earlier about it possibly being a, you know, with the three-way match for the belt. Yeah. 'Cause I agree with you. There's no way they could put those two guys in right now. It's like, who do you dislike more?
Right.
And right now, I mean, the scale is definitely weighing, I would say, against Batista more than it is Orton. I think Orton's in a better place, unless the only thing I can see them doing to salvage that and turn it around is to really start digging at Randy like they've been doing.
I was just going to say that. There's a difference between the heat that they're getting, though. That the heat that Batista is getting right now is that we as a crowd hate that you're here. We right. hate that they gave you the Royal Rumble because you came back. We hate that CM Punk left because of that, allegedly, because we loved CM Punk. And we hate that you're going to get this push. Like, we hate it. As a fan, as a group of fans, we absolutely hate it. The people that are paying the money for tickets are the people that should matter. And those are the people tonight that booed him out of the building. And not because he's a heel. He's supposed to be a babyface. Like, he's supposed to be the good guy. Yeah. Randy is the heel. And Randy is actually getting heel heat. He's not getting the boo, you suck, we hate you. Although he is getting a little of the boring, which I don't agree with, but whatever. And then, but he's also getting the heel heat, and he's playing into it perfectly.
Yeah,
he's playing into it perfectly. So if you have a good guy that you can put against Randy, you can make that work. Which is still why I think, in all honesty, they made the mistake. I don't think they made a mistake tonight. I think Randy winning was the right decision. I think they made a mistake at the Royal Rumble. Because Daniel Bryan should have won the Royal Rumble. And it should be Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. And that's a match you can sell as a headliner.
Oh my God, in a big way.
But right now they don't have that. As much as I do like the idea of a triple threat, I still think that I still have a place in my head that thinks that Brock Lesnar is still a legitimate threat to get in that match too.
Well, like I said at the beginning, there's still a lot of time. I mean, they can introduce somebody tomorrow night at Raw, and that can change.
Well, they're going to introduce somebody tomorrow night at Raw.
Well, yeah.
Real quick, we should probably do that. We're getting close to our time limit here. At Raw tomorrow night, they've already announced that Hulk Hogan is going to be there. So that's going to chew up some time. They're going to sell the shit out of the network. So that's going to chew up a lot of time.
Yeah, that's big.
They're going to talk about, obviously, they're going to have to deal with the fact that Randy won, because that secures him the belts going into WrestleMania. He has no, you know, they're not going to take the belts from him between now and then. Right. And Batista is, he won, but it doesn't matter. He's still the Royal Rumble winner, so he's in. They're going to build the Bray Wyatt John Cena thing, so that, you know, we can prepare for that. The Shield is probably going to be going through their breakup over, over last night or over tonight. And then, I mean, so what else are you looking for? You thinking maybe tomorrow's the night that Undertaker shows up?
I'm thinking it is. They have to do it soon. You know, it's, 6 weeks away at this
point?
Right,
yeah.
I mean, they have to do it soon. If they're going to do it, because they have to build some story. He can't, you know what I mean? They have to build some sort of, like, somebody is going to come out and... They've got to build that up a bit.
Brock Lesnar.
And maybe even not tomorrow night. They have to do it within the next two Monday Night Raws.
I'm almost sure that the Undertaker is listed to be there tomorrow night, like on the thing for the show. I know that Brock Lesnar is. So Brock.
Well, wasn't he supposed to be at tonight's show, though?
Allegedly, but he wasn't. But he is going to be at tomorrow night's show. Like, he was on the marquee. like if you went to the website for the Green Bay Arena where they were selling tickets, he was listed to be there. So he's going to be there. I'm not sure what they're going to do with him, but obviously that's all going to start. Look, the Raw tomorrow night is going to be huge.
Like, yes, it is.
I think other than the 1,000th episode, it's probably going to be the biggest one in 5 years, maybe more. I don't know. Obviously, that's putting a lot of shows into perspective. But it has the potential to be one of the watershed Raw moments in history.
Yeah, it has. I will say, honestly, I think it is going to be in a really big show. Of course, it's a big network push. It's no secret that's going to be the, you know, the method that they're going to run everything on. And, you know, everybody who comes in selling, you know, they're part of the pie. I wonder, too, if tomorrow Sting would make an appearance on behalf of WCW for the network.
It's a possibility. And I'm still sticking by that. I think they're going to find a way to get him in the ring against Undertaker at WrestleMania. So Sting is a huge possibility to show up tomorrow night. And that's what I'm saying. To put into perspective, a Monday Night Raw coming out of the last pay-per-view before WrestleMania. So it's your official start of WrestleMania is our next pay-per-view. So everything we do now goes directly to WrestleMania. So you go into that Raw with the network and you bring back Hogan, you potentially bring back Sting, The Undertaker, you're bringing Brock Lesnar back, who wasn't at the last pay-per-view. So that's a big bring back. Triple H maybe gets involved in a wrestler's role starting tomorrow night, because there's still,
I've heard some talk about that.
Yeah.
Too.
There's still the potential for him to be in a match at WrestleMania. There's just this Raw. I don't think you're going to be seeing Santino Marella with Emma against Fandango and Summer Rae tomorrow night. Let's just put it.
No, I don't
just
think they need any way. Time fillers.
No, we'll have enough of those with the Bellas telling us how to plug in our TV.
Seriously. It's so funny. I mean, like when they did the whole in that, there's a piece in the promo with the Wi-Fi. This is what the symbol looks like. No way, dude, really? if you hadn't told me, I'd never have known. And there was a funny tweet too, like, yeah, Bellas, we know what a Wi-Fi symbol looks like. That's how everybody's been streaming free free pay-per-views for years. Like, it was the funniest
thing.
All right,
I'm going to take this moment to play a complete devil's advocate, which I'm sure will get me a lot of love. you know, this network, I said it earlier about the whole thing with the storylines. They're not just selling it to those of us that have every single device that we could watch it on. There are people that are going to buy this network that are out of our age range on both ends because of the history that it provides and because of the entertainment value that it provides. Maybe just based on it being something different. And so I get what they're trying to do. They really are. They do a really good job of trying to touch every market they possibly can. And it kind of sucks for the hardcore fan, because a lot of times you feel like your intelligence is being insulted, but they have to do it because
I understand why they do it.
A publicly traded company that has to, you know, make every penny they possibly can. And that's that. So whatever, it is what it is. And I know I'll be getting the network first thing in the morning when it opens for business, and I'm sure you will too.
I am sharp.
And so that's pretty much all I got for tonight.
All right. Well, that's all I have as well. So let's wrap it up. First, I do want to give a quick shout out to, I'm going to call them by their real names because I always suck at hashtags. So Ariana Ward and David Hicks both tweeted to us and kind of gave their input and their picks for the show, and a couple of them were dead on, so want to thank them both for participating. And then wanted to just reintroduce my co-host and thank him, Seth Knupp. I'm Chrissy Rios. Don't forget, you can follow us both on Twitter at Fearless Fandom and The Quinbee. And we'll respond to any questions, comments, or thoughts on this show. Just hit us up on Twitter at Quin Media and use the hashtag QuinCast. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk with you guys later.